Evening. I'd like to welcome everybody out to our youth service. We have a few things on the agenda, but if the Lord lays something on your heart, by all means do it. It is definitely going to be in order. We'll go ahead and open up our service and dedicate the service to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask Rob, since he's standing, if he would do that for us, please.
Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you, God, for this day you've given us. Father, we thank you for another chance to get together. God, we ask that tonight, as we come to worship you, Lord, we ask you to drop down amongst us in a special way, Father. Bless and anoint the service. All the kids, young people, young men and women to take part, Father. Those that play the instruments, those that lead, those that sing. God, we ask that tonight you would be special to everyone that's here. Lord, speak to us in our life right now, what we're going through, what we need for tomorrow. We ask you into the service in a special way, Father. We just give the service over to you. If there's a need in the church tonight, we ask you to meet that before we part ways. We thank you, Father, for all that you've done for us, what you're doing right now, God, and most of all, what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Does anybody have a testimony at this time? Alrighty, if not, we're going to get a song, and then I'm going to turn it over to the puppets when that's over. During the song, if any of the kids would like to come up front and see better, there's plenty of room here on the front rows.
Alright, everybody get your hymnals and turn to page 202. I heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory. And I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
I want to welcome everyone that's come out this evening to see our Thanksgiving program. The teens have worked really hard in getting it ready, and I hope you'll enjoy it. It's part of an old one from 1998.
Three little Indians, four little, five little, six little Indians, seven little, eight little, nine little. Oh, hi, everybody.
Hello, Sally. What was that song you were singing?
Oh, that was a song about Indians. My teacher has been telling us all about the people from different countries that came to America to find freedom. And she told us the story about the pilgrims and the Indians having the first Thanksgiving feast. She said the pilgrims were white and the Indians were red people.
Well, that's right. And later there was black and yellow and olive people who came to America also.
Well, let me ask you something.
Okay.
I've noticed that puppets and people come in different colors. Why is that? Wouldn't it be less confusing if everybody was just all the same color?
Well, before I answer that, I have a question for you. What did you plant in your garden this year?
Well, that's easy. I always planted daisies so I could tell if my boyfriend loves me or not. You know, he loves me, he loves me not. Mm-hmm. He loves me, he loves me not.
Is that all?
Well, no, there's lots more. I had roses, too. Red roses and pink roses and yellow.
Any tulips?
Yeah, all colors. Red and purple and orange. Every color you could think of.
So why did you plant so many colors?
Is that a trick question?
No, I'm serious.
Well, the answer is oblivious.
I think you mean obvious. Oblivious means forgetful, and obvious means easy to understand.
Oh, I get it. I'm obvious, you're oblivious.
No. Well, you are right about one thing. The answer is obvious. Your plants are all different colors because
you
like them.
I really do. I love all the colors of the rainbow. Mm-hmm. Is that why God made people different colors? Because he likes all different colors?
Well, I think so. Just the way there's so many colors in nature.
Well, yeah. Look at the flowers. Look at the birds. And look at the mud.
The mud?
Uh-huh. Sure, even mud comes in living colors.
Yes, well, I hadn't really thought about that.
Well, think about it. There's black mud, and brown mud, and red mud, and yellowish mud, and green mud.
Green mud?
Yeah, well, I just threw that one in to see if you were paying attention.
Oh, of course I am. I'm always giving you the attention you need. Mud is colorful.
So, why shouldn't people come in colors too?
Well, you're right. The song says red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight.
Those aren't the only colors people come in, you know.
It isn't?
No. There's brown, light brown, dark brown, and don't forget pink.
Oh, that's right. Babies come in pink, don't they?
And some people are polka-dotted.
Polka-dotted?
Yeah. White with brown polka dots.
You're kind of
polka-dotted yourself.
No. These are not polka dots. These are freckles.
Well, they look like polka dots to me.
Okay.
But don't let it bother you. Lots of people are polka-dotted. Listen to the new verse I made up on this song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, brown and pink and polka dot. Jesus loves them all a lot. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Isn't that good?
Yes. I bet America is more like a garden than any other country.
Why? Because a lot of people have gone to seed?
No. Because there's so many different colors here in the people of America.
Yeah, and they're all beautiful.
Yes.
Everybody's beautiful in his own way. Mm-hmm. Is that why they call it America the Beautiful?
You know, I bet it is.
That's another reason, too.
There is?
Yeah. It sounds better than America the Gorgeous, or America the Stunning, or America the Ravishing.
Okay, you're getting obnoxious.
That's oblivious.
No, I mean obnoxious.
Tell me what that means.
It should be obvious.
I'm really ready to go now.
Yeah.
Oh, but wait. May I sing one more verse? Just one more?
One more? Just one more.
Yeah, okay. Jesus loves the little puppets. All the puppets of the world. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little puppets of the world.
Say goodbye, Sally.
Goodbye, Sally.
We hope you enjoy the rest of the puppet program, and hopefully you'll take the message home. It has a lot of humor in it, but still it has a good message for you to take home with you.
Quanto, what you look at?
I see white wings on ocean. I see many people ride on bird which flies on water. I see...
Oh, cut the corn, Squanto. You mean a boatload of people are on their way?
Yeah, okay, party pooper. That's what I see. Your trouble is, you got no talent for poetic dialogue.
Well, when fire becomes orange bird that leaps from logs, and fish are silver birds that fly underwater, I just think you're stretching things a little too far. In fact, I think you're for the birds. Ha ha ho ho.
Very funny, wise guy. I always said the only taste you had was in your mouth. Charlie Tuna has more taste than you. But enough of this. We must welcome our visitors.
Who says? You know what happened last time we played the gracious host to a bunch of pale faces. You got carried off to be sold as a slave. You're just lucky you escaped and found a way to get back. Otherwise, right now, you'd be playing horse for some little brat somewhere.
Yeah, I know. But maybe these people are different. Maybe these people are kind. Maybe these people are nice.
Maybe these people are also polar bears. I'm gonna go round up some guys for a war party. See you later.
I will wait and watch and see if these people will bring the white bird which waves from Styx.
It sure seems strange that aside from that one skirmish with savages on the third day, we haven't seen an Indian in over 3 months. Say, you don't think my 5-day deodorant pad is worn off, do you?
Indians! Indians! Get your guns! Hide the women and children! Pull the wagons in a circle! Indians!
James, get a grip on yourself. You say Indians are coming?
Yes, yes, millions of them.
Millions?
Well, a whole bunch.
How many, James?
A lot, boy, a whole mess. Crowding and pushing.
James, how many?
Well, a few.
How many?
One.
One?
Well, he's a big one.
You could have started a panic. Don't exaggerate like that.
Here he comes. Give me a search, will ya?
I just gave you one. Anyway, there's not time.
Greetings, Englishmen, and welcome to America. I am Squanto.
How?
What?
How? Aren't you supposed to stand with one hand up like this and say, how? I mean, all the books I ever read said that...
Is he serious?
You'll have to forgive him. He overdoes it sometimes. Say, how is it you speak English?
Is that what we're speaking? I was just going to ask you how come you speak Wampanoag. I always get them mixed up. I was captured to be sold as a slave, but I escaped to England and was sent here by a kind merchant.
I see. Say, being as though you live around here, could you help us with finding the best restaurants and such? We just don't know where to start looking.
You've got to be kidding. Indians hunt and trap and farm. We just can't get any decent chefs here, so we have to do it all ourselves. I will teach you Indian ways and stay on here as your resident poet. In the meantime, I have some business to attend. I will return in a couple of weeks.
When Happy Yellowface falls behind mountain many times?
What?
Aren't you supposed to say things like Happy Yellowface and Many Moons and things like that? I mean, I've seen a few movies in my time, and all the Indians talk like that.
Stifle this guy, will you?
Well, thank you, Squanto. We'll wait for you to return. Goodbye, friend.
Goodbye.
May many moons not pass before we meet again. May the Happy Yellowface smile upon you.
Well, Squanto, you have taught us well. We have had a good harvest. We would have never known to plant dead fish with the seeds of corn. Because of that, we had many corn plants.
Yes, and 30 dead fish plants. I've got to remember how to do that. You will have plenty of food for the winter. Now, about my check, don't you think I should...
We'll have a feast!
What?
A feast! We'll invite Samoset and Massasoit and all his people. And we'll eat turkey and pumpkin and squash and corn. And we'll watch the Macy Parade and football games and
all... Hold it, crazy person. Why do you want to do that? Should we not give thanks to the Great Spirit who sends rain like small blue birds which fly to the ground to water the plants and sends health like bright bird with good wings?
Okay, I get the idea. You know... You're right, Squanto. We should join together our families and friends and give thanks to God for all his blessings. And because we are giving thanks, we'll call it Thanksgiving. Every year after harvest, we'll celebrate Thanksgiving and praise God for his goodness. Come, my friend, Let's go gather our friends and families and celebrate.
Thanksgiving Day! I've got so much to be thankful for. A parade, a football game, traditional Thanksgiving feast, and another football game. And to round it off, a delicious piece of pumpkin pie. It's going to be a great day. I just love the smell of turkey filling the house. Wait a minute. I don't smell anything. Flo? Flo! Flo!
Is something wrong, dear?
Do you smell anything?
No, I don't smell anything.
Neither do I.
Is that what you called me in here for?
You bet it is. It's 8 a.m. on Thanksgiving morning, and I don't smell any turkey cooking.
Oh, that. I haven't started cooking the turkey yet.
Haven't started? Well, you'd better get busy if we're going to eat by 2 o'clock.
Don't you remember? We signed up at the church to go to the mission this Thanksgiving.
Flo, you know I hate to go out on Thanksgiving Day. I'd much rather stay home. I've got my entire day planned out. There's the parade, then the football game, then the dinner.
I know, Eb, I know. But this is really important to me.
Oh, all right. If it'll make you happy, we'll go to the mission for Thanksgiving. Where is this restaurant anyway? I've never heard of it.
Eb, it's not...
Well, it doesn't matter, as long as we can go between football games. Did you make reservations?
I don't think you understand.
Well, there's one thing I don't understand. If we're eating out, why did we buy this big turkey?
We donated it to the mission.
Wait a minute. What kind of a restaurant is this? We have to supply our own food?
Eb, I've been trying to tell you. It is not a restaurant. It's the rescue mission. We're going there to serve Thanksgiving dinner.
You gave our turkey to strangers? What are we going to eat? Leftovers?
Oh, of course not, Eb. I bought a smaller turkey for us. I'll fix it when we get home.
Why couldn't you give them the smaller turkey? Did you really have to give them the big one?
Let me ask you something. If Jesus were going to come over for Thanksgiving dinner, which turkey would you serve him?
Well, I'd give him the big one, but you already gave it away.
Serving our turkey to the homeless is the same as if we were serving it to Jesus.
You want to run that by me again, Flo?
Jesus said that whatever we do to the least of these, we're doing to him. So, when we feed those who are hungry, it's just like we were feeding Jesus.
Well, I sure wouldn't want to give Jesus my leftovers.
Exactly. God wants us to give him our very best. You know, Eb, if you'd rather stay home, it's okay. But I really like to go.
No, this is Thanksgiving. We should spend it together. I'm going with you, Flo. By the way, do you know where my portable TV is?
Oh, Eb, I don't know.
You wouldn't want me to miss the football game, would you?
Of course not.
Oh, go ahead, get in the car, Flo. I'll be right out. Now, let's see, where did I put that TV? Oh, here it is. Oh, no! This TV is black and white! Oh, the sacrifices I make for my fellow man.
Every single thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Don't be a turkey, just say thanks. Be thankful in your heart for everything. Be thankful in your heart for everything. Just say thanks.
All right, anybody got a testimony? If not, Mara, you come on.
Dark seems safer than the light, and everyone has a heart that loves to hide. I'm a mess and so are you. We've got walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard, but the best thing we could ever do, ever do. Bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest. If we're honest. Don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine. 'Cause love can heal what hurt divides. And mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest.
anybody got anything?
I'll stand and pray for the Lord. Thank you for another day you've given me to come to church. These children around here, they just blessed me, I tell you.
Yeah.
That little boy that sang this morning, that was wonderful. I don't know how to remember all that stuff, but that's good. But it's been a great day for me. We went to the restaurant to eat. We got ready to pay. Somebody already paid for it. I said, I know Dad, I got me a big step.
Anybody else? If not, Trenton, you come on. I'm going to ask Pastor Jimmy if you would to pray for Trenton as he comes.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful to be in your house this evening, Father. We're thankful, Lord, for what we've witnessed so far. We're thankful, Lord, that we come to hear the word, Father. We just want you to pray, or want to pray for Trenton. He brings the message, Lord. We just give you all the praise and the glory for all that you've done for us. And Lord, just blessing, Father, giving the words that you would have him to say, Lord. And help us, Lord, just to encourage him as he goes along. And just continue to be with our church, Lord, as we continue to try to serve you in the best way we can. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Good evening. Good to see everyone. I'll tell you, I enjoyed preaching last time a little better, I think, because I had something to hide behind, but I got this clear podium tonight. And after last time, I guess my parents, they were ashamed of me or something, because they didn't want to come tonight. But dad's at work, and Mom and Taylor in California had a trip planned. So, but... And mom was pretty upset about it. I know she wanted to hear me. I think she might be listening on Facebook or something. But in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I definitely want to thank my mom. I know she's been praying for me tonight. She couldn't be here. And I can't thank her enough for the prayers that she's... She's lifted up a lot of prayers in my life for me. And I just wanted to tell her thanks for that. But I'm preaching tonight on temptations, and it might not be a real light message, but I think it's something we can all use. And I know it was something that, as I was studying, it was I learned a whole lot from this message. But temptations, so I looked it up in the dictionary, the word tempt, that means to persuade or try to persuade to do wrong. Usually by promise of pleasure or gain. And that's usually what it comes down to when we're faced with temptation. We usually do it because we think we would get some pleasure out of it or something's going to benefit us for it, whether it's what God wants us to do or not. And just to start off, before I get into this message, I would like everyone to close their eyes, if they would, and just think of the most difficult temptation that you face in your life. And really think about it, and think about times that you've had where you may have fallen into that temptation, and then once you have that figured out, just think about that for a few seconds. right, you can open your eyes now. And as I'm going through this message, maybe think about that and think about ways that you can get through that better the next time. But the second part of that definition in the Webster's Dictionary for tempt, it mentioned to risk the dangers of. And temptation itself is not a sin, but whenever we choose to, it becomes a sin when we kind of yield to it and we choose the evil path rather than God's path. And that's when that becomes a sin. And what that we're doing is we're risking, the definition said we're risking the dangers of. And, you know, what are we risking the dangers of? That would be risking the dangers of sin, which the wages of sin is death, and the path of sin is hell. So every time we choose sin, we're choosing the wrong path there. But tempt in Old English means test. And why don't we like tests in school? And that's because they challenge us. They challenge our knowledge. What we've learned, teachers give us a test to challenge us and see what we know, and we don't like that. We don't like to be challenged. We like to have it easy. But God and Satan, they both tempt us as Christians, or not tempt. I'm sorry. God and Satan both test us as Christians. God doesn't tempt us, but Satan tests God's people by manipulating the circumstances in their life, in our lives, to try and get us out of God's will, and. Just an example of Satan tempting would be Eve in the garden. Satan can even manipulate the circumstances for her. He manipulated the word of God, God's words, to tempt her. And so he can even use scripture to tempt us at times. But then if you guys would, I'd have you turn to Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Got a bunch of different verses tonight, so you'll be turning a couple of different places. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5, it says, "Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." And I underlined that word, the last word there, incontinency. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but it means lack of self-control. And when it comes down to, and really what that's kind of saying is, you know, when we get tempted, if we're with a bunch of Christian friends or something like that, and we get tempted, we don't really need self-control that much, because all of our Christian friends, we're all going to stay together, we're going to avoid the temptation. But when we're alone, that's when temptation really bothers us, and that's what this incontinency is saying. It says lack of self-control. Satan tempts you when we're alone, and whenever we're facing that, we have to have self-control to think about what is really best for our lives. Is that pleasure that we think we're going to gain, is that really going to benefit us in the long run? But what really matters is that we're on God's path. And so then we can, there's some examples of God testing people. God tests people to reveal the quality of their faith and devotion, so that it kind of reveals what their true heart is. What their true heart is, and an example of that, we'll go to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 2. And that's saying, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or not." And so they spent 40 years in the wilderness, and God was testing them to see if they would keep his commandment. They were testing their faith, and they had to prove their faith to God during that time. So God tests us, Satan tests us. An example of maybe both Satan and God testing someone at the same time would be Job. So we can turn to Job chapter 1, verse 9 through 12. And so Satan and God are testing Job here. It says, Then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge around him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. So, you know, Satan's telling God, he said, Well, of course, you know, Job's being faithful, but that's because you've kind of put a hedge around him, you've taken care of him, and there's nothing going wrong in his life. So he says, I want to test him. And God says, okay, well, I'll test him too, and we'll reveal the truth of his heart. And so Satan, you know, takes everything from his life, and then in verse 22 it says, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And then at the end of chapter 2, in verse 10, at the very end of that, he says, in all this did not Job sin with his lips. So he passed the test there, and then he didn't fall into temptation of cursing God. Even in verse 9 of chapter 2, his wife tried to convince him to curse God. She said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. And that's pretty rough. And even his own wife was trying to convince him to curse God. And I was reading some commentary on that. I thought it was kind of funny. They said they were wondering why Job's wife was spared. You know, a lot of Job's family was taken and killed, but his wife was spared. And they were like, you know, kind of wondering why. But they said Satan was kind of using her against him by telling him to curse God and die. He didn't want to take her because she was doing just as bad for him as him losing some of his own family. And so, you women. Yeah. And then in the third chapter, Job begins to kind of lose perspective. And he kind of questions why he's being tested. He says, you know, I've lived an upright life. You know, why is this going on? And that's really not the thinking that we need to have. When we're facing tests in our life, we might think, you know, why is God testing me? Or, of course, we know why Satan's testing us, because he wants us out of God's will. But sometimes we wonder why God's testing us. And we think, I know, I'm living better than this person, but he's not testing them. Why is he allowing me to go through this? And that's really not the perspective we should have, because the perspective for life is not about being happy or the things that we have in our lives or the things we're going through. The perspective of life is that we're serving God and that we're doing what God wants. And see, Job knew. He says, I haven't done anything wrong. And in chapter 3, some of his friends were saying, well, you might say that, but he's really testing you here. And they're blaming him, saying, oh, you've sinned and you've done something wrong to make God do this. But Job's kind of saying, I know I haven't done anything wrong. I've been living right. I've been doing what God wants me to do. Why am I going? He really doesn't know why he's going through this. So he starts to lose perspective there. But he really should just need perspective of, even if we think that we're doing everything right, it doesn't matter what we have in our lives. It matters that as long as we know we're serving God and that we're in the will of God, then we're doing okay no matter what we have or what we don't have. That's really all that matters.
Amen.
And so. What do we do when we are presented with a test or temptation? And in school, you know, what is the best way to handle a test or to pass a test? To study. And so in this situation, test from God and Satan, the best way to get through that test, is to study the Word. And, you know, if we study the Word, we can tell in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. I turn there real quick. If we had studied the Word, this is what we would read. Chapter 10, verse 13 of 1 Corinthians. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So, you know, if we're studying God's Word, we will be able to know that God's got our back, that God's going to be there for us, and he's not going to allow us to go through something that we can't handle, or that he can't handle, because he can handle everything. And then the most important thing, in my opinion, to avoid a test or temptation is just to stay away from it. stay away from it in the first place. If you turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 22, it talks about running away. It says, Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And at the beginning of that it says, flee also youthful lusts. So we need to flee away from the side of temptation or the risk of temptation, you know. I know whenever you say you're going through a haunted house or something like that and something comes up and scares you, I mean, you just stand there. I mean, when you're scared, you run away. And what temptation is, we should be scared of it. Because as that definition said, we're risking the dangers of the path to hell, the path of sin, not being in the path of God. And so whenever we're scared of something, we don't just, if something comes up and scares me from behind, I'm not just going to slowly walk away. I'm going to run away. And when we see temptation there, we should be scared, and we really should run away from it and get as far away from it as we can, or else the longer that I sit there and if something comes up and scares me, the longer that I stand there, the longer chance it has to get me. And if I just run away as fast as I can, get away from it, the less chance that temptation has of overtaking me or me falling into it. And the next thing, we should surround ourselves with friends and people who are Christians like us. As I said a little bit ago, Satan really tries to tempt us when we're alone, and that comes down to self-control. But we want to try to reduce those opportunities as much as we can. We don't so because it is tough. I know I tempted more than I have ever been after since I've been announced that I was called to preach. Satan has tried to attack me so much, and I've been presented with more temptations than I've ever had in my whole life, I would say, just these past few months, just because he's trying to get me out of the will of God. And if we surround ourselves with other Christians and friends that are Christians, then the chances of us falling into temptation are a lot slim, and we'll be able to stay in the will of God. Amen. And so I actually thought this was going to be a long message, but longer than last time. But anyways, I kind of talk too fast sometimes, I think. But in closing, I don't know who has the song tonight. I might ask Mara to sing her song again if she would, actually. I like that song. I think that has to do a lot with this message, if she doesn't mind. But I want you, everyone, to look around, with your eyes open and stuff. Raise your hand if you have a temptation in your life. I know I do. We all have temptations. So nobody should be ashamed of a temptation that they have in their life. And what we should do with our temptation, we want to get rid of it. You know, we want to pray to God and ask Him for help, so that we don't have to face that as much anymore. And the best way to do that tonight, at least, will be to come to this altar and speak directly to God and say, "Lord, I want help with the temptation." I asked you in the beginning of the message what that temptation, your biggest temptation, was. If you want help with that, you can come to the altar and nobody's going to think anything about it, because we all just raised our hands and we all just saw that we all have temptations. And so we all do, and we all should come together and pray about them when we do have them. And if you're unsaved, it's tough to beat a temptation without God. You really can't most of the time. Some people, anyways, it's really hard to overcome temptation without God. And so if you're unsaved, the best thing for you to do tonight, if you have temptation in your life, I know you would, is to just come to the altar, get God first, and then from that point on, he'll help you the best with everything that you need for as far as temptations go. And so as they get the song going, if you have temptation, we all do, don't be afraid to come to the altar tonight to get rid of it. Everyone needs help with it. We can't do it alone. So come to the altar and speak directly to God and get help with that.
Truth is harder than a lie, and dark seems safer than the light, and everyone has a heart that loves to have. The walls nobody can get through. Yeah, it may be hard. love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. If we're honest, don't pretend to be something that you're not. Living life afraid of getting caught. There is freedom found when we lay our secrets down at the cross, at the cross. So bring your brokenness and I'll bring mine, 'cause love can heal what hurt divides, and mercy's waiting on the other side. We're honest. It would change our lives. It would set us free. It's what we need to be.
Anybody else? If you think everybody did a wonderful job, give them a hand.
Yeah.